proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Osman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another program in the Everlasting Nation broadcast. We have been looking at the Olivet Discourse contained in Matthew 24 and 25. Another event that must occur before the end of the world takes place, and that is this. The entire world will hear the message claimed in the Gospel of the Kingdom. In a parallel passage found in Mark chapter 13, the Savior had declared that, quote, "The Gospel must first be published among all nations," unquote. At first glance, it would seem that no distinction exists between the Gospel of Grace and the Gospel of Kingdom. Does the Bible simply use the two terms interchangeably? We read that Jesus Christ preached the Gospel of the Kingdom throughout his earthly ministry. In Mark chapter 1, for example, the author provided a brief summary of the Savior's message, one which he delivered during the beginning of his outreach. Quote, "Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Unquote. His message of repentance echoed the message of John the Baptist, as recorded in Matthew chapter 3. The imminence of God's kingdom, in other words, that the kingdom of God could arrive at any moment. The imminence of God's kingdom comprised a major part of the gospel of the kingdom. The Savior called upon his Jewish audience to repent of their sins and to receive his gospel message in light of the coming kingdom. Throughout the Old Testament, God promised the Jewish person a physical kingdom. Had the Jews accepted Jesus Christ as their prophesied Messiah, God could have established that kingdom for them at once. For the most part, however, the Jewish people rejected the Savior's messianic claims. Thus, when Jesus Christ spoke to Pontius Pilate about his kingdom, he said, quote, "My kingdom is not of this world," unquote. And, quote, "Now is my kingdom not from hence," unquote. The gospel of the kingdom, which would have given to the Jewish people their kingdom, and Jesus Christ as their king. The gospel of the kingdom would have to find its fulfillment at a later date. Must this gospel of the kingdom indeed be preached throughout the entire world before the end comes? The answer to that question centers upon the meaning of what the whole world refers to. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, for instance, quote, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world," unquote. Did he mean to imply by that statement that even the residents of, say, Japan and China were talking about the faith of those believers? No. Paul intended referring to those lands that constituted that portion of the Roman Empire. On the other hand, John did note that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for, quote, "the sins of the whole world," unquote, a statement which indeed encompasses the entire human race. Therefore, the latter application of that phrase, that the whole world refers to mankind, the latter application of that phrase seems more likely in the context of Matthew chapter 24. Can the gospel be spread through the whole world? Advances in technology will make this once dauntless task far more achievable than it ever has been. Please pray that the inhabitants of the entire world will soon hear the gospel in their own languages and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.